Hey, hello everyone. A very warm welcome back to Qlogs, the quest for the adventure of learning and knowing through stories. And learning and knowing through stories, the important aspect in our life is also the resiliency. And today we are going to talk about how we can develop the resilience, which can help us to elevate our own personal life as well as a professional life too. So today we are having here Fitz Coiler with us. She is a CEO of fitness.com and an author of multiple books, including My Noisy Cancer Comeback, Your Healthy Cancer Comeback, Sick to Strong and Healthy Cancer Comeback Journal, a busy keynote speaker and a fitness expert with a master's degree in exercise and sports science. You're most welcome to Qlogs, Fitz.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I said this before we started the show, but everybody should know, even though they can only hear us, that you are one of the most handsome podcast hosts out there. People should go and look at your picture. You're smart and you're world traveling and a very handsome man. So people should know this about you. Hello.
Oh, that's so sweet of you. Thanks a lot for that. And I am really grateful for this opportunity, especially that we are talking here. And resiliency is something which is really important, according to me too, as a important characteristic of a being, of a human being. But before we dive more into that, let's talk about what your unique story has been until now, because here at Qlogs, we believe that we all have so many different kinds of stories in our life to share, but we have at least one unique story which we can share out with the people and which can empower the people.
Yeah, so I always like to start with the good stuff first, the stuff that I chose. So I've been teaching fitness for decades all around the world. I have a master's in exercise and sports sciences, as you mentioned. I love helping people live better and longer, and I do that via mass media. So most of my work is done on TV, radio, via writing books, writing for magazines. I do a ton of keynote and motivational presentations, and then I'm a professional sports host. So I announce massive running events like the Big Sur Marathon, Buffalo Marathon, and I also now host massive pickleball tournaments. And so whatever, sports are something I enjoy because I get to serve people who are already committed to fitness and exercise. But my resiliency, I mean, boy, it's been built up my entire life. But a few years ago, 6 weeks after a clean mammogram, I got out of the shower at a race weekend and I found a nasty little lump in my breast. And within about a week or so, I had all the doctor appointments and the scans and the biopsy, and a doctor called and said, "Fitz, I am so sorry, but that mass inside your breast is indeed cancer, and it's already spread to your lymph nodes and it is running through you like wildfire. So we need to treat you urgently and aggressively." And they did. I ended up having 15 months of chemotherapy, which is a really long time to have chemotherapy. And I had 33 rounds of radiation. I had some surgery, and I'm so grateful to say that I am cancer free, and I have been for a few years. But when it comes to resiliency, it's earned, you know, it's earned by all the times you failed from childhood on. Every time someone tells you no, every time someone hurts your feelings, those things steal you up. They prepare you for the big stuff. And even though I've had tons of success, I've had tons of failures and tons of people being mean to me and tons of injuries. And when cancer came for me, I was ready. I mean, it was still hard and horrible and terrible, but I never had a pity party. I never had a why me moment. You know, in my mind, I would think, well, there's babies in the hospital with cancer. Why them? You know, forget about me. Let's think about why those babies. And because of that, never had a pity party. Did I cry? I did. Did I stress? I did. I just never basked. I never wallowed in the grief, in the misery. And because of that, I was able to pick myself up, and I was able to do so many wonderful things during the most difficult year and a half of my life.
Wow. So when I look like your life until now in a nutshell, like you have done so many different things in your life, right? And basically, when we are more extrovert and we are at the higher energy level, we are able to deal with the things much more better. But let's dive more into a bit in your history. You mentioned sports.
I'd like to pause because I do think that introverts also could have really good coping mechanisms. Maybe they do meditation, maybe they journal, maybe they do yoga or hike and so forth. So I don't know. I think our extroversion is a power. I think it's probably also a weakness in some regards too, but yeah, I
Yeah,
want to give credit to those introverts out there, because I bet they're handling things like a boss as well.
No, definitely you're right there, because everybody is having a different ways to handle with that, right? Like we all develop our own mechanism, the tools we develop throughout the life to deal with them. And like what I see in a nutshell, like sports has been really close to your heart and you being sporty as well. So would you like to put some light, like how you ended up liking the sports so much? When was in your life, like when you realized like, okay, sports is something which I love at all?
Yeah, so my parents had us in sports from the start. I was the youngest of three. My brother was 9 years older than me. My sister was 6 years older than me, and they were very athletic. And so I looked at what they were doing and I thought that would be fun and I'd like to give it a go type thing. I was never actually great at sports. I was very mediocre. My siblings were excellent. But I just like to play. I like to be on a team. I like to wear a uniform. I like to be part of a group. You know, when you join a team, officially you're a part of something. And that comes with a little bit of swagger if you've got the shirt. I mean, God, you put on a t-shirt that matches other people, you feel like you're part of something. So it just was ingrained in me as a kid. And then when I was 14, I started teaching fitness. And not only did I love the process of teaching fitness, but I became a true believer. I saw people's lives get way better once they started taking care of their health. And I thought, oh, this is a really important thing. And it's a solution to a lot of problems. And so I believe that then, now that I know more, now that I've experienced more, I believe it even more. And so, you know, sports are really just the fun, thoughtful version of fitness, right?
Definitely. And for me, sports is something which helps you to realize your own worth and which helps you to realize your and explore your unexplored parts, right? Like when we are in a team, for example, the lot of skills which we learn, like the team skills, camaraderie, and all the things which we learn from the sports there is one of the important aspects too.
Yeah, it's so valuable. I really, becoming a quality leader, learning to follow, learning to win with grace, lose with grace, learning to follow the rules, learning when you can break the rules. It's the benefits are endless. And yeah, I'm so passionate about this area of the world. I love it. I just love it.
So let's define now about the resiliency. So would you like to define what is resiliency for you and what is its definition according to you?
I would say resilience is your ability to tolerate discomfort. And yeah, discomfort. And that could be pretty extreme, right? It could be injury. It could be illness. It could be divorce. It could be loss of a loved one. I mean, we all become really uncomfortable or sad. And how do we keep going? Your resiliency is your ability to keep going in difficult times. And I'm not perfect at that, but I've certainly mastered it. And that game plan starts in your head. You know, you got to make those decisions. And, you know, the pity party benefits zero people. Absolutely nobody on earth in the history of the world has ever benefited from a pity party. So if that's you, stop. Stop right now, smack yourself in your own darn face and shake it off. Having the pity party, you know, the why me? The world is out to get me. That's garbage. And you're wasting your own breath and you're wasting other people's time. So if you're saying those things out loud, it's just foolish. It's again, okay to feel like this is sad. This is difficult. Those things can be true, right? Those things can be accurate. But to blame the world and suspect that anything is out to get you, I mean, clearly, nothing in the world was out to get me when I found cancer, right? It wasn't intended. I certainly don't think there's a God that would choose that for me. So I had a cell go rogue and thankfully I figured it out. So I think starting in your head and then making a plan to control what you can. And so again, if you're divorced or you lose your job or you get sick, what can you control? And for me, for everybody, really, how much you move your body, can you make your body as physically strong as possible going into any sort of crisis? Would you rather be a strong, muscular person or a weak, scrawny person going into a physical crisis? And obviously, we would all choose to be strong and physically capable. And so we focus on that. you can control what goes in your body, the food, the nutrition, the, you know, are you putting cigarettes in your mouth? Are you putting alcohol in your mouth? Or are you putting water and fruit and veggies? Those are things that are good. There are things that are bad. And so we got to make those choices. And then also to be the greatest coach, you know, sometimes people get in their own head and they focus on the negative. And I had so many very, very scary experiences during cancer, but thankfully the voice in my head always said, Fitz, you've got this. You have done so many hard things. You've built a global business. You have raised great children. You used to kickbox competitively. I used to fight in a ring. And so she in my head would remind me of that, say, you can do this. And when I was scared, I listened to her and I got through the hard things. And then I got beyond the hard things. And so, yeah, we have to be our own best advocate because, you know, when you're getting a divorce, it's only you and the other person. Nobody else can experience that for you. When you lose a child, it's your child. You know, if you have cancer, even if you have a great support squad, you're the only one with cancer. You're the only one who can take the poke. You're the only one who can get radiated or have the chemotherapy drug. So you have to be your own best friend, your greatest champion. And so I think that voice in your head is essential to success.
I especially love this part, which you mentioned, like you are your own friend and it's you basically, right? And I usually say it in a way that we have the relations in our life. We have friends, we have spouses, we have colleagues around us, but at the end, it's you. We came alone, we are here alone, and we will go also alone. So how we tackle our individualism is really important. And what you also mentioned there is like the resiliency. Basically, I also say it's a part of a discipline too. If we are more disciplined in our own life, then we build resilience nature. And this helps us to cope up with all other things.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then I do think all those little failures, you know, when I was in high school and I was cut from a sports team or I didn't get invited to this or that, there was a bunch of times I came home and I was sad and my mom would say, this is building your character. It's building your character. And I would say, Mom, I'm enough of a character. I just want the things that I want sometimes. And I'm so grateful for all of those failures because they truly did prepare me to handle the biggest nightmare of my life. And I was pretty good at it. I mean, it was awful and I was wildly sick. I'd never seen anyone so sick until it was me, but I got through it and I chose to get through it. I chose to get through it. And I also accomplished so much during that time because I chose to. And so I'm not a superhero. I don't have any Marvel superhero blood in me. It's just, I have learned the hard way. And so now I'm using those life lessons and putting them to good use. And I hope everybody else knows that whatever goes wrong in their life, then something will go wrong, right? Nobody gets out of this world unscathed. And so how do you react? How do you respond? And if you're taking care of yourself and your mental fortitude is strong, you will prevail.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And this is how the life is, right? Like it's not a straight line. It's the sine wave. So we have ups and downs and how we deal into that situation with us. And especially that the important part there is that, again, coming to the same thing, that we need to take care of ourselves in order to we can deal. Deal is not a way or not a good word, but we can thrive through that situation. Because if we are not able to confront the situation with our full energy in a more positive way, then most often we are diverting it. And especially the blame games, for example, which you were also talking about before, that what happens is like we are trying to blame other people, whatever happens in our own life. But the important thing what I understood is in life, so I'm 30 years old now, and what I understood and realized is that we need to confront our own fears. And once we confront our own fears, we make them our strengths later on, because then we work on that. And now let's talk about yours. So your phase when you were going through the cancer phase in your life, right? Do you think that being a sports person, being that kind of having a that kind of mindset, have helped you a lot to go through that phase in a much more positive way? instead of someone who is not having the same kind of background.
Without a doubt, without a doubt, my athletic experience benefited me greatly. You know, with sports and with fitness, you get comfortable being uncomfortable. That's how you get better, is you do things that challenge you. And when you're challenged, either you feel awkward or your body struggles. And I put myself through a unique gauntlet when I was going through cancer care. Now, I did have surgery, I did have radiation, and there were significant side effects to those things. But the most dramatic experience I had was as a result of chemotherapy. I was just violently ill. Imagine if you had the worst stomach bug of your life every day for a year and a half. And that was me. I was just so sick. And with that, I still got over 30 planes out of my hometown to go travel around the United States speaking and announcing races. And I was bald and I was gray. And I would fly across the country. Hey, flying for 10 hours is not cool when you're super sick, if you can imagine, but I would do it. And I would get on the plane in the morning, or before I'd get on the plane, I'd go through TSA. And my husband would say, he'd look at me, he'd be dropping off his sick, gray, bald wife and say, how are you going to do this? And I would just say, I just am. That was it. I was just committed. I just am. In the same way, when you run a marathon, Raul, you're just choosing. You know, if you show up to the start line, you're not feeling your best or something's weird, you still are saying, I am going to get to that finish line. And so that was on my mind. I'm going to do it. And so quite often I live in Florida. I would fly across the country, maybe to California. I would have my race director organize IV fluids for me because I was always dehydrated because I was so sick. So I'd go get IV fluids when I got off the plane. And then I would probably sleep on the hotel bathroom floors. There was a lot of it was ugly. But then when I got up in the morning at 4 a.m. to go to the start line, the second I stepped on my stages, absolutely everything that was wrong with me disappeared. I wasn't sick. Mm-hmm. I wasn't suffering. I wasn't tired anymore. I was just full force Fitz Kohler. And that's because, A, I made the choice that I was not going to let the Big Sur Marathon take place without me. You know, that was my race. I was going to be there. And then also, that's the miracle of having passions in your life, having things that you love, that it was worth the hardship of travel and, you know, all the things I'd gone through. Because when I got on those stages, I got to be full force Fitz Kohler. It was the only time in my entire year and a half where I felt like a normal person again. And so, you know, sometimes when people get sick or, you know, as long as you're not contagious, right? People say, oh, stay home, hide out, you have cancer. No, we only isolate our prisoners. We isolate people on death row. We isolate people who have hurt children. We do not isolate people we love with cancer. We give them life. We say, let's go live. What can we do? Especially if someone's actually going to die, if they have a poor diagnosis. Do not shove that person in a corner and make them hide out for the rest of their days. Get them out, let them enjoy life. And I did, you know, it was hard, but it was worth it. And I want people to focus on that. What are my passions that are worth it? What are the things that make me feel normal? And is it worth it? You know, if I only have 3 weeks left on this earth, do I want to spend them sick in bed or on the couch? Or do I want to go see a show or be at a party or enjoy a trail? You know, so I made those hard choices and they were wonderful. And also, if I had stayed home for a year and a half, my business would have crumbled. My business would have been obliterated. Instead, I tripled my business during cancer care. And so we all have choices. I encourage people to make the best ones, even if they're difficult, because usually they're worth it.
Yeah. And especially these choices are the one which make our character, right? Which define us, which sets the example, right? Like, for example, you are a business owner too. And if you are taking those choices and you are standing up for yourself first in the hard times, that sets an example non-verbally for the people in your own business. And that's one of the example of being a good leader too. Okay, good is maybe, so that's the example of being an outstanding leader too, because that's the point where you are leading the people without telling them anything. And most often our actions speaks a lot, right? And especially when you were talking about this be on that start line. Just go and decide and do it. And that's awesome. I can share, like last year, I ran 3 marathons in 5 weeks.
Wow.
And
Nice.
That was something which I wanted to confront from my own body, that I am able to do that. My body is able to do that. So that was awesome. And that is something which I really like about, is that when you are going out of your comfort zone, you are trying your new dimensions and you are experiencing the new dimensions in your own life.
Yeah, I couldn't agree anymore. I understand how people have fears, but you know, it's just like a marathon. People might say, that's so scary. And sometimes I'm standing at a start line with 20,000 people that are about to run a marathon, and I'll say, who is a little nervous right now? And probably thousands of hands go up, and I say, okay, just a reminder that war is scary. Cancer is scary. Running or walking 26.2 miles with a bunch of really cool people, it's scary, you know? So harness that nervous energy, turn it into excitement, and celebrate the fact that today you are really living. It might be hard. Okay. It might cause some stress and discomfort. Okay. But this is a day you're really living. And all those people who chose to stay home, they're the ones who should be scared. They're the ones who should be scared that they're wasting each day of their life. So, you know, right now, if I could go back in time and not have cancer, I promise you, I would. I would not have cancer. I would just completely erase all of this. But the reality is I can't do it. I can't undo that. And so post-cancer, nothing scary, nothing scary. Versus the only thing that would be scary to me is something happening to my children. Beyond that, I am a yes person. People ask me to do something, any opportunity, if there's any chance it might be a positive experience, I say yes every time. And I've put myself in ridiculous circumstances. I ran the Boston Marathon. I'm doing the Dancing with the Stars competition in a few days. And I've never danced. I have no dance training other than the past couple of months. But I'm going to go and I'm going to get on the dance floor in front of 1,000 people and do this routine. And then there's going to be all these people watching via live stream, watching me do the routine. And I'm not afraid of that. I mean, what am I going to be afraid of? Their opinions? Okay, so who cares if they don't think I'm a good dancer?
Yeah.
I'll be out there having fun. I'll be out there living my best life. So I hope people aren't, I hope they're not harnessed with fear and imprisoned by fear. That's really the worst thing. You got to let go. You got to realize when you get nervous about something, say, okay, what's really the worst that can happen? And for me, if there's no bleeding, bruising, or broken bones involved, game on, let's go.
And especially it's so if we look from the neuroscience perspective, right? Like it's the same hormone which is getting secreted when we are either feeling excited or nervous. And it depends up to us how we are turning that into the excitement. Because when we are more excited, we overcome our fear, but naturally. And which also opens our another dimensions of exploring the deep happiness inside too. So, and you were talking about the post-cancer phase, right? So if you look now, how it is in your day-to-day life, like does this cancer phase and affected your sportiness and how it has affected your daily life?
Yeah, so it has some short-term consequences and there's some long-term. My short-term, really, I lost so much weight. I was skeletal. I was very, very thin. So it took me a lot of time and effort to rebuild my size. In fact, I'm still much lighter than I was before cancer, but I'm fit and healthy and strong, which is okay. But that's taken significant amount of time. I had an issue because of radiation throughout my chest and my armpit and so forth. I had a hard time doing push-ups. There was just a spot that really hurt. And for 3 years, I couldn't even do one push-up without pain. And the pain was significant enough that I just didn't want to do the push-ups. And I kept using free weights and cables and machines to try to rebuild my strength. And then all of a sudden I could do one push-up. And again, it took 3 years after cancer care, I could do that one push-up and I celebrated that. And now I can do, I don't know, about 50, 60 push-ups in a pop. So that's great. I have some numbness in my arms that won't affect me athletically, I would say for the most part, I'm good to go now. I would say for the most part, there will always probably be some weakness in my chest if I don't work on it aggressively because of radiation. But yeah, I'm overall, I'm good. I'm 99% of who I was. I'm dinged up. I've got some scars and some weird little sidebars, but I'm great. I'm great.
Wow, that's great. That's a passion, that's a zeal, that's a courage to go through it and let's conquer the world. Let's talk now about you have published your book, right? Like, let's put some light on your own experience of being a self-published author, because I also published my book like 5 years ago in 2018. So I would like to
Congrats.
know how your experience has been.
So it's been great. I have three self-published books. I worked with a traditional publisher many years ago. It was fine, but then they got pretty shady and they did some sketchy things that were unethical. And I decided I don't want to be a partner with a company that could manipulate my words and be dishonest with people. So when it came to these books, Your Healthy Cancer Comeback, My Noisy Cancer Comeback, and The Healthy Cancer Comeback Journal, it was the information was too important to let anyone else mess with it. So I chose self-publishing without a doubt because I could control the content. And you know what? Much like everything else we do that's worth it, with a lot of hard work, a lot of time and effort writing, I did a lot of learning. I went to online professionals who know their stuff, who help people do self-publishing. So I thought that was really valuable. And I was wise and I hired professionals to fill in the gaps where I did not have professional skills. So I wrote the content, but then I hired several copy editors to make sure my grammar was correct and I wasn't missing words. And you know, when you write 120,000 words per book, there's going to be some errors. So I hired professionals to clean it up and they did a fantastic job. I hired cover designers. I hired interior designers, layout designers. And so I had to invest. I didn't, it really wasn't a fortune. It was a few thousand dollars per book. And I feel very proud of the products. All of my books paid for themselves within a week of releasing them. So enough people bought the book that it paid for the cost of the book. So that was fantastic. And most importantly is the books are helping so many people. So my goal for these books is in moving forward, every cancer patient, every newly diagnosed cancer patient and survivor gets at least Your Healthy Cancer Comeback in their hands. That is going to be the guidebook for them to weaponize exercise and nutrition and mental fortitude to go from sick to strong. And you know, cancer is really hard. The treatment is nasty too. You know, so cancer's hard. The treatment is brutalizing. And doctors will tell you, you should exercise and watch what you put in your mouth. It's important. But they don't tell you how because they're not an expert like I am, right? So I have created the manuals and they're doing well. Some of the most fantastic feedback I get is, you know, I've had brain cancer and, you know, I'm slowly rebuilding my body thanks to you. My attitude is so much better after reading these books. So the self-publishing process is fantastic. I will write more books. It would take an incredible deal for me to step away from self-publishing and give a publisher a try. They really, I'm skeptical about them with good reason and really, really comfortable with my ability to publish stellar products on my own. So I love this self-publishing process. I thought it was fantastic.
Wow, awesome. So that looks like another experience which you have, like alongside your main profession being an author now too, and that's definitely adds onto your crown one more feather too, right? And the important thing is, so for the listeners out there, you can find the links below in the description of the episode, so you can directly go through them and get the book directly. So right now, before we move on for the outro sections part, as a runner, my curious question is, what's the most exciting moment you had as a marathon race announcer, or what excites you at that moment?
Oh, what excites me? So there's a couple of things. A, I love the start line. Start line is the only time in an entire race weekend where we are all together. When it is me and 12 to 30,000 people, I love it. I want my start lines to feel like rock concerts. So I build up this kind of frenzied feeling, and then I get bigger and they get bigger. And when I say something and they all respond and they just pelt me in the face with their joy. I love their energy. I feel I absorb their energy. It's a drug to me. I get high, so high off of their happy noise. They call me the queen of happy noise, but it's returned to me tenfold from these huge crowds. So I love, love, love the start line. And while it's my intention to make every one of our athletes feel like a champion, so if you actually won the race, you're going to get your biggest, warmest welcome from me than you've ever had from anyone else. But I love the middle of the pack. I worship the back of the pack. I love these people where when you see them at the start line, you say, huh, how curious. How did that person get here? And then when you see them come through the finish line, whether it's a 5K, 10K, full marathon, I just love it. I love because I feel those back of the packers quite often, their finish lines are life-changing moments. They're actually life-changing moments. This is the thing that will set them up for more athletic adventure and more confidence and, better sex life and better work life and better all of those things. And so, yeah, I love the unexpected finishers, and I stay out of the way of the super fast people. But about halfway through a race, I'll get down on the ground and it's always full of hugs. I love how the runners come up and give me a hug and a high five, or we dance through the finish line. It's pure joy. It's pure joy. It's such a wonderful experience for me.
Well, I can totally resonate on that feeling, because standing on the another side, standing on the finish line and all that course, yeah, that's an awesome feeling. And especially, so we have a saying, right? Like that around 30, 32 marks, kilometer mark, you think like, oh, why the hell I am, when you hit the wall, why the hell I register for the race? But as soon as you cross the finish line, you are ready to go for the next one and
That's
just
right.
register for the next one on the same day, or very
That's
soon.
it. Yeah, you go from I'm never doing this again to oh my God, when can I sign up again? It's mental as much as it is physical, right?
Definitely. It's more mental, because there is this really nice saying from Kipchoge that our mind give up more faster than compared to our body. So it's all mental. Our body is able to do a lot, and the only thing is we don't push it and explore the another dimension.
Yeah, you are right. And Elliot is such a wonderful champion and a great representation of our sport. Such a gentleman.
Definitely, definitely. Cool. So now we are coming on towards the signing off part for today's episode. And here we have a tradition of asking three outro questions to our guest. And the very first one is, what inspires you the most?
Inspires me the most, I would say. People showing grit, right? Unexpected champions. And I'm not saying first place, I'm just saying people who shouldn't be doing what they're doing based on other people's predictions. And there they are, So the marathon runner with zero legs, or the morbidly obese guy finishing the marathon, or the 90 something year old. I like those things. I like the people who could make all the excuses, but they don't.
Beautiful, beautiful. That's the courage, and that's the zeal to go on. Going to the next question, what are you most grateful for in your life until now?
My kids.
Beautiful.
Ginger and Parker, best things, the best people I've ever known. I loves of my lives. They're everything.
That's beautiful. Now, going to the last question, which is the single best piece of advice you have ever received in your life until now?
Always associate up. So when I was fighting, when I was a full contact kickboxer, my trainer, he just dropped that bomb on me. His trainer told him, and he told me, but he said, associate with people better than you, and no one will ever drag you down. You will never get into that ugly predicament if you are associating with people you think are the best of the best. And so that's what I choose to do.
That's really great advice, and
Yeah.
I totally align on that. Thanks a lot, and for that. And thanks a lot for your time. It has been really nice talking to you, Fitz.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And I'm happy to meet your audience. I'm guessing it's a global audience, so that's really fun. And I'm at fitzness.com, folks, if you'd like to say hi. It's F-I-T-Z, N as in Nancy, E-S-S. And I'm on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and LinkedIn. And I love connecting with folks. So if anybody has any fitness questions or just wants to say hello, I'm around.
Yeah, and definitely all of you out there, you can find all the links below in the description of this episode, so you can directly go through them and get in touch with her. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and most important, stay amazing. Ciao, tschüss, and goodbye.